from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. We've got two episodes this week.
We do, and we've got Emily on again. So,
hello.
Yeah, we're rocking and rolling this week. We figured we'll do this episode, and you know, we each kind of experienced something last week. Personally, you know, Barry went on a Disney VIP tour. I went to a NASA social event with the SpaceX launch, and Emily went to Busch Gardens for their media event talking about food and wine, and of course the 2020 announcement.
Something 2020 something.
Yeah.
Not to mention it was, I mean, it still is, but their 60th anniversary. That was the whole reason.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah. So,
we'll start off with that. So Emily, how was your evening at Busch Gardens for their 60th kickoff?
Yeah. So we were invited out there for that anniversary. And you guys were nice enough to let me take off the training wheels and go to my first media event on my own.
I was going to say, was that your... I can't remember, because I know we've signed...
You and I, Clint, we went to Rock the Universe.
That's together. What I was thinking of. I was like, you went then, to some other event. I couldn't remember what it was. Yeah, that's what it was.
He wore you out at Rock the Universe.
Yeah, he walks so fast. It's unreal. Like, if any of y'all ever want, like, a workout, just go walk with Clint. It's fine.
Just walk around with me.
Yeah, I mean, him and I are almost the same.
Just try to keep up.
But. Yeah, him and I are almost the same height, and it's like I have a hard time keeping up.
So. Yeah, and I'm 5'4", with like tiny, scrawny legs, and I'm like, please, no.
The wife hates it. She really hates it. So you got to go down there and check out some of the food for the Food and Wine Festival, which hasn't started yet. I think
when we were there, actually. I'll get to everything that happened, but they kind of let us out into the park after. And the food and wine tents were open. So I don't know if that was just for that night, but they were definitely open. We tried a few things ourselves, so.
What did you try?
If
you remember.
James got beer. My boyfriend got beer. That's
of course.
Just a given. But they had like a fried chicken stand, and I'm like the most basic person in the whole wide world. So they had like these just like little fried chicken pieces, but it had almost like a honey drizzle all over it. And it was really good. But yeah, so I was like, I need something to eat pronto. Like I'm starving. Please give me something. And it was actually really nice because I didn't want, you know, the usual theme park popcorn or churro. So it was nice that, you know, their tents were actually open.
I believe they call them food cabins there. Food and wine cabins.
Food and wine cabins.
How cabins. Fancy.
Fancy. Yes.
Busch Gardens spares no expense.
But yeah, so when we like literally walked right in, they had the Tigris coaster car, which looks awesome, by the way. And they had that. They had like a little photo op right next to it. They actually showed a little bit of schematics for the ride, so that was cool. They had a bunch of animals out with their handlers. My personal favorite was Harry the Sloth. He is a 40-year-old sloth, which is twice the age, that sloths live up to. There was also a baby crocodile, porcupine. There was even a penguin, and that made me cry a little bit.
Wow, that's crazy. When you sent me the picture of the... When you sent me the picture of the sloth to post on social media, you told me that it was 40 years old. I didn't know that was double the life expectancy of a sloth. That's crazy.
I guess Harry the Sloth, too, is like one of the park's main ambassadors. So that was super cool because we walked in. My boyfriend's like, oh, my God, there's a sloth. And I'm like, what do you mean there's a sloth? And he's like, go over there. There's a sloth. And he's like you could pet the sloth. You could like hold like his little claw hand thing. It was so cute. And then we're standing there, we're just like sending the pictures to you, and some lady comes up to me and she's like, just so you know, we're bringing out some of our penguin friends. And I'm like crying and like ran over to the penguin, like taking like a gazillion pictures, and like you can't touch him or anything. And I'm like, why can I not touch you? But yeah, so that was awesome.
You have to pay extra for that.
I would, honestly. I love
that. I wonder why they wouldn't allow you to pet the penguins.
I think it's because, I mean... we were like in this like tent showcase thing.
Yeah.
And it was air conditioned, obviously, but I don't think it was the right enough temperature for them.
Yeah, I mean,
so don't think they wanted us to kind of screw with their body temperature.
Yeah, they have, I don't know if they have it at Busch Gardens, but SeaWorld, they do have the tour where you do get to pet the penguin. Of course, you got to like wash your hands.
Yeah.
And you get to, you're allowed to stroke them like one part on the back of the, on their back. But
I may be wrong. I'm pretty sure Busch Gardens has a somewhat experience. Their enclosure is not as big and it's actually outside. But I'm pretty sure I've walked by before and seen something about, you know, interacting with the penguins for, like, a certain price.
So, interesting.
Yeah. But like you said before, they were showcasing the upcoming Food and Wine Festival. And they had three things for us to try. There is, like, a pot roast, a banana bread pudding, and some type of, like, Mexican corn. So that was super good because who doesn't love free food? But yeah, so it was awesome. You just walked around, looked at the animals, tried some food. They also had the pin trading that is coming out to the park. They had a huge table of that. They also, when we walked in, they gave us like a cool grab bag. And that had an exclusive Busch Garden 60th lanyard and a pin that was only available for the media event, which was like a tiger going off of Tigress.
Yeah, I saw somebody post that on Twitter, and I didn't know that was an exclusive, so I was like, oh, Emily better hold on to that.
Oh, no, they gave us one bag each, so I got that for both of you.
Oh.
So, yeah. And then they were basically like, hey, we're going to make an announcement at 6. So we sat down, and they came out, and they were like, okay, we're just going to, you know, play this video, nonchalant, super cool. And they announced the Gwazi replacement. And I don't know, but I will read the press release. It says, when it opens next year, the ride will become North America's tallest hybrid and the fastest, steepest hybrid coaster in the world. Manufactured by Rocky Mountain Construction, the newest addition at Busch Gardens will be a wood and steel hybrid coaster design featuring a maximum height of more than 200 feet tall. The ride will feature all new thrill elements as well as restored elements of Gwazi.
Yeah, so
that
buddy.
That was like everybody in the room just was like, oh my God. And you just saw everybody pick up their phones and they're like, Gwazi, Gwazi, Gwazi.
Yeah.
So
that was the big anticipated moment of that whole evening, I think.
Oh yeah.
Because everybody knew that we were gonna get more details, whether we got full details. I didn't see Busch Gardens doing full details yet because they don't wanna kill the hype for Tigress yet.
Yeah, it was a little more of like, hey, it's coming, we're gonna show you, just kind of like the statistics of it.
Yeah,
but I think they're definitely leaning more towards, let's get Tigress out there, let's promote Tigress, and then I think they'll start definitely showing the Gwazi replacement.
Yeah, I think I think later this summer we'll start to see more details, but at least we got, you know, what it's going to be as far as what records it's going to break. And if you kind of dig deep, if it's going to be the tallest Rocky Mountain Construction coaster,
that means it's taller than Steel Vengeance.
And Steel Vengeance is 205 feet. Yeah. What really intrigues me is Busch Gardens is saying it's going to be the steepest, and Steel Vengeance has a 90-degree drop.
Oof.
So does that mean they're going beyond vertical, like some of these beyond vertical steel coasters that we see?
That'd be awesome. Even if they go 91, 92, or 95, it's still, it's beyond vertical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely shocking. I mean, we all knew this was coming, but I don't think we thought this was going to be a record breaker.
Well, I know a lot of people, too, just thought they were straight up going to, you know, replace a track and bring Gwazi back. And then there was a bunch of people too that was like, oh no, we're gonna get a new coaster. So it was nice to see that, you know,
there were
actually getting a new coaster.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that thought Busch Gardens was just gonna tear up the Gwazi wooden track and throw down Rocky Mountain Construction steel track and call it a day. But no, they've already torn apart like a huge part of the lift hill, and they're going up obviously pretty high with this thing.
Way up.
I was gonna say, even regard to the height too, I think it was only for the media event, but they actually released us to a nice like orchestra concert after, but it was in the Gwazi field, so you could see the coaster itself, but there is a yellow balloon in the sky, kind of like a hot air balloon, but not as big. But the top of the balloon marked where the top of the coaster would be, and that thing was high.
Yeah.
So
200 feet. I'll take anything over that. So
yeah, and the crazy thing with the Rocky Mountain coasters is as insane as, like, 200 foot steepest drop in the world. That's usually not the most fun element in on these coasters, and even a lot of people who've ridden Steel Vengeance say the first drop is not their favorite part of the ride. And I don't think this thing will not be as long as Steel Vengeance is.
I don't think so either, and I think it'll be there was a, you know, I don't think it obviously wasn't the official, but somebody came up with a rendering of what it could look like, and it was floating around Twitter. And
the rumor is like 3,500 feet long, I think.
Yeah. And if that's the case, you know, a coaster that short, not as long as Steel Vengeance, you really can't do a lot of serious airtime moments in it, because it doesn't have... To do airtime moments in a coaster, you need length.
To me, that's what, out of the Rocky Mountain coasters I've ridden, the airtime moments are the things that I like the most about them. It's like, yeah, the inversions are cool, but the airtime is, I think the two I've ridden, the airtime is insane. It's like,
and that's,
ejector air.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've ridden the New Texas Giant over at Six Flags over Texas. That was my first Rocky Mountain construction coaster. And the airtime on those things are just nuts. But unfortunately, I don't think this Gwazi remake is going to be an airtime machine like Steel Vengeance, like some of the other Rocky Mountain construction coasters. I think it's going to be a very twisty, turny type of Rocky Mountain construction coaster. But hey, I'll take it. To have a Rocky Mountain construction coaster in our backyard, you know, beggars can't be choosers. So I'm still excited to see what the finished product is going to look like.
I mean, who wouldn't be excited about this? I mean, SeaWorld parks have been putting in major investments. You know, I mean, it seems that they're moving into the right direction, and you got to go big sometimes. And they went big.
Yeah, this is huge for Busch Gardens. I mean, for them to be able to advertise for them having the tallest, steepest, and what's the other one? Fastest?
Yeah.
Hybrid coaster. That's a huge marketing gig for them. So, you know, I was really excited when we got all those record-breaking, you know, not stats, but announcements that it's going to be a record breaker, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I've never been on an RMC coaster ever. So when, you know, you're getting into the theme park community and you're hearing about all these different coasters and you're kind of new to it, it's definitely interesting to be like, oh, well, I can, you know, take an hour trip and go on one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited.
No, they're...
I'll probably cry a little bit of how intense it is, but, you know.
They're a treat. I love it. I always wish we had one closer, and now we're getting one in our backyard next year, so...
Yeah.
Now we just need a wing coaster.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a nice B&M wing coaster here somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it gives Busch Gardens a very diverse coaster lineup, and really moves them into, barring we expect this to be awesome, and don't forget Tigris too. I mean, they've got they're going to have by 2020 one of the most diverse coaster lineups out there.
I think this is one of the, probably, gosh, I'm a little fuzzy on Busch Gardens attractions by year, but from my knowledge, usually years past, Busch Gardens has gone, you know, something huge, and then they'll do something minor, like a, I don't know, like a new stage show or something the next year, and then they'll go big again. They're going big 2 years in a row with Tigris, and then next year the RMC coaster.
Yeah, I could definitely see after next year them get them going smaller, maybe You know, there's still that huge chunk of real estate with Rhino Rally that's just sitting there empty. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I could definitely see 2021, maybe some new animal habitats or That'd something be nice. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Possibility, because after these two big investments, you know, they may take it easy after this.
Now, did you go to the concert too?
Oh, we did for a little bit, but that's when, you know, my intense hunger kicked in and we decided to go check out the food. What were they called? What is Busch Gardens called?
Food cabin.
But yeah, we sat through it, a good chunk of it. It was really nice. It was called Woman of Rock, and it was with the, I believe, the Tampa Orchestra. And it had three female singers just coming out and singing different genres of music. It's kind of hard to say exactly what time frame, because they were going from like the 50s, 60s, 70s, so it was all over the place, but it worked really well. And at, I want to say, like 8:30, maybe, like, so it took like an hour and a half for the concert, which, I mean, I loved it. But yeah, so they had fireworks after too, so it was a really nice treat.
Cool. And Food and Wine Festival kicks off March 16th.
Yes.
Officially at Busch Gardens and runs through April 28th.
Yes.
Yeah. Really good concert lineup too.
And it's only on the weekends.
Yes, like SeaWorld.
Yeah. So note that as well. You know, if you're going there on a Tuesday or a Wednesday and expect to experience the food and wine, you're going to be upset.
Yeah, and for more information on that, you can go to thrillgeek.com and check out our article.
We have all sorts of stuff up there with that. So, Barry, actually, you got to go to an interesting VIP tour at Magic Kingdom. We'll hand the floor over to you next and let you kind of talk about your day doing that.
Well, thanks to some really great friends, our friend Bob, Marie, and Rosie. And if I just got any of those names wrong, I apologize profusely. I'm doing this on the fly. We got to do a private Disney VIP tour, which is, you know, people are always like, oh, you're going on a VIP tour. It's like, which one? It's like, no. This is, you can hire a VIP tour guide at Disney to take you around. And not just take you around, they'll pick you up. And then take you to whatever parks you want to do.
So is this like the ones the celebrities do?
I guess.
Or like like a lighter version of it?
I guess. I mean, you basically, you're paying for a VIP tour guide. The minimum is 7 hours. And
there's actually a time limit?
Yeah, you have to book at least 7 hours for up to 10 people. The price varies between $425 to $625 per hour.
Holy cow.
Oh, God.
But you get to plan the day, your way. You get access to,
Does that include food?
This one does not include food.
See, I think that's the difference between that one and, like, the outrageous $12,000 one, because at least with the $12,000 one, they're giving you access to breakfast, lunch, and dinner at
the
restaurant.
But even if you do, like, the Thrill Ride VIP tour, that includes a quick service meal, and I think that one's, like, $325.
Mere price difference of $11,200 gets you lunch.
But I mean,
like,
they
probably let you stop, right? Like, if you
we stopped and ate lunch. I mean, you could basically do whatever you want. We actually started in the Magic Kingdom, but they decided that they wanted to go to Hollywood Studios, so we basically go backstage at Magic Kingdom. They have a car waiting for us, and they drive us over to Hollywood Studios and drop us off behind Tower of Terror. And they've got, like, water and snacks waiting there for us. And then we go into Hollywood Studios, and we walk right on to Slinky Dog Dash. We walk right on to Alien Swirling Saucers. We walk right on to Toy Story Mania. For those, we go through the Fast Pass line. The VIP tour guide just flashes her badge, and we go through Fast Pass and go ride the rides.
Did you feel like that scene in Wayne's World when they're just like flashing the VIP passes? Yeah.
Oh no, it was definitely cool. I mean, it's neat. Not you don't have to go through the gates. You don't. You know, we walked through the backstage area of Tower of Terror, and then out into the exit. And then the interesting thing was when we wrote Tower of Terror, we actually walked through the gift shop, through the exit, and they backdoored us right to the elevator, right to where you get onto the elevator. So we didn't even have to go through the fast pass line for that one.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it varied depending on what you do. If you want to see some of the parades or shows or the nighttime spectaculars, there's separate VIP viewing areas you get to go into. But since we were basically doing this for rides, because their daughter just likes to ride rides, so they sort of let her dictate the day. We did all that at Hollywood Studio. We wrote Slinky Dog Dash, Swirling Saucers, Toy Story Mania twice, and Tower of Terror, all in about an hour and a half.
That is a feat.
Yeah. Without having, except for Tower of Terror, we went through every single whatever fast pass line, and then we went out the back, got in our car, got in the car they provide, and the VIP tour guide took us over to Animal Kingdom and dropped us off right at the back of Pandora.
Do they provide? Is the car a minivan?
No. It's depending on how many people you have in your group, it varies. From we had like a Chevy, big Chevy Suburban SUV, but some of them are actual, passenger vans.
Yeah.
Depending on how big your group is.
Man, I thought they would be using minivans, no, polka dots.
No, just the Disney Secret Service.
No, yeah, I mean they're tinted. It was black with tinted windows.
The Disney Secret Service.
Yeah. So I mean they pull you right up backstage outside of Pandora, and we walked straight into Pandora and walked right on to Navi River Journey, and then yes, we rode Flight of Passage without having to wait in line. Which that's for many people thing. Is probably worth the money.
I was going to say that alone's worth the admission, price.
And then we had lunch at Satuli Canteen, and while we were getting our food, she was reserving our table. And she stopped and ate lunch with us, and then was off to the safari, and we got right into the line for that, and some of the rides the VIP tour guide would ride with us. I guess it was really great if you have a kid, because I mean she pretty much walked around with the chat with our friend's little girl Rosie the entire time. And she actually, we rode the safari, and then we went over to Expedition Everest and rode it like four times in a row.
That's awesome.
Because the kid wanted to keep riding over and over again. And actually, after the third time, we went over and rode she walked over and got us onto Primeval World while she took the little girl Rosie back to Expedition Everest to ride it again.
Somebody liked Everest.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, we were joining in on their tour, and for them, it was all about whatever she wanted to do, so.
That's sweet, though.
Yeah, so, and then that was it for Animal Kingdom, and then they wanted to go to Disney Springs, so she took us over to Disney Springs and dropped us off at Disney Springs. So, that was our 7 hours.
So you can pretty much, you can go anywhere, not just the parks. It's
yeah, no. I mean, if you want to spend your money having her take you around Disney Springs, I guess more power to you.
Yeah,
But I mean, this is, you know, really something for the parks, because, you know, you're getting to skip the lines outside of, you know, having to wait in the fast pass line on most attractions. You're paying her to guide you around, to drive you around, so you don't go through the front gate, you know.
If I'm paying that much for that tour, I ain't going to Disney Springs.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at the parks the whole time.
If I had that kind of money and was paying for that, would our day be a little bit more efficient? Yes, but as you know, Clint, if you're with a kid,
yeah,
things are a little bit different. And really, they were doing this for her. They have the money to do it, so
that would have been Jordan. That would have been Jordan with Everest wanting to go back and ride that again and again and again and again.
Yeah, so
we got to save up all of our money and do this when Galaxy's Edge opens.
Yeah, VIP.
Well, the funny thing is, I sort of mentioned that. I was like, I wonder how much that's going to cost. How much the price for a Galaxy's Edge VIP tour is going to go up once Galaxy's Edge opens. Because apparently the VIP tours have gone up, I guess, even in the last year, the price has gone up, so...
Yeah, and there was a lot of people asking me too when I went on the Star Wars guided tour if that was going to change and include Galaxy's Edge as well.
Yeah, sure. It's gonna go from what, $100
to
$300.
I don't know, maybe they may offer like an alternate version that includes Galaxy's Edge.
I wouldn't be surprised if they keep the Star Wars tour the way it is and then also have, like, their own Galaxy's Edge tour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And God knows what the After Hours event's going to cost.
Yeah, that too.
But, I mean, it was neat. I've never gotten to do anything like this before. So, like we said before, I mean, thank you to our friends. And, it's definitely, I mean, it was the most relaxing day.
I would imagine, you know, that's the good thing about that too. The VIP tours is there's no stress, you know, you don't have to worry about anything.
No, I mean, it's, you know, you book your time and you plan what you want to do. And, like I said, if it was me, we would have gotten in a few more things, but, you know, we were there doing what they want,
wanted the kids to do,
what the kid wanted to do. So that's what we did. And, if you want to see what it's like to go on a VIP tour, check out, youtube.com/thrillgeek, where we'll have we went on a Disney World VIP tour video up. So,
oh, I was going to say, did you do a video?
Yes, we did do a video. So it's, if you like hearing the sound of Sin giggling a lot, you will enjoy this video.
Cool. Well, I'll have to check that out. So, all right. And my fun day was out at,
Yes, space nerd. What's up?
Yeah.
To space.
Sometimes I wish I did. I forgot. Was it you that asked me, Emily, or I forgot somebody asked me when I was done with the tour if I had gone to outer space, and I was like, no, but I wish I did.
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah, I thought it was you. But no, I signed up for this, gosh, I don't know how many months ago.
It was months ago, because I had to sign up too.
And they do these NASA social sign-up things for the SpaceX rocket launches quite frequently. So, if you ever get the chance to sign up for them, because they're an absolute blast. This was my second one. The first one I went to was several years ago, because it was before SpaceX was landing on the barges or on the landing pads. Mm-hmm. So this one was for the Crew Dragon launch, which was SpaceX's test of the Crew Dragon capsule, which, you know, the launch went well. So hopefully later this year we'll see.
What is the Crew Dragon capsule?
It's basically SpaceX's version of it's their capsule that'll hold astronauts to go up to the International Space Station. And this was their test, unmanned, of the first one. And it obviously went successful because it docked with the International Space Station successfully. So hopefully later this year we'll see a we'll have humans going back into space, because we haven't seen that since, you know, the shuttle program ended.
It's been a while.
Several years ago. So it was a successful test. So on Friday, we got to actually spend the day out at Kennedy Space Center before the launch, which was at 2:39 in the morning. But on Friday, they invited us out on a almost like a, I guess, kind of like along the lines what you did for at Disney, a VIP tour of areas you really don't get to see, even if you go on the regular bus tour at the Kennedy Space Center's visitors complex.
Can we stop for 1 second? Because I love the way you say tour, because it's just like tour,
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 tour. I don't know if that's my New York accent trying to come out or
that,
what.
That must
that's
be.
Like a New England thing.
Yeah. I'm from up north, so that might be my way of saying tour.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm from Connecticut.
But back
so,
to
yeah.
back to your story.
Yeah. So Friday they picked us up in a shuttle at one of the big Kennedy Space Center visitors complex buses and shuttled us off into the space center, and our first stop was the vehicle assembly building. We got to go inside of it and check it out, and I was completely nerding out because I had never, you know, I'd been close because I had been on the regular visitors complex tour and stuff, but once you step inside this building, you get a much better idea of just how massive this building is. You know, because they built the Apollo rockets, you know, the Saturn V's, the space shuttle, and now they're in the middle of preparing it for this new SLS launch system, which is basically the shuttle replacement. Which is also really interesting because this SLS system, they're going back to the old Apollo type spacecraft with the little capsule on top. They're going back to that type of technology. They're in the middle of right now of modifying a couple of the bays to get ready for this new SLS system. So there were sparks flying, and they actually had a test capsule for the Orion capsule, which is going to be on top of the SLS system. We got to see that. And then one of the really cool things inside the VAB, they had this wall that was signed by everybody that had a hand in the space shuttle program. And there's just, I would guess, probably hundreds of signatures on this wall. It was just really cool to see that, you know, to see a part of history on the wall that everybody, you get a better idea of how many people worked on the shuttle program when you see this wall of everybody that signed it. It was really neat seeing that. And then after that, we jumped on the bus and they shuttled us out to launch pad 39B, which, again, they're getting this ready. They're getting this launch pad because SpaceX currently is housing 39A. 39B is getting ready for the SLS system. So they've gotten it torn. They've got it torn down to pretty much the basic structure. And they're building a new, fuel tank for it and just doing all these modifications, to get it ready for this new system that NASA's putting out. So it was really cool seeing that. You got to see, I have it in the video that I have up on the YouTube channel. You get to see some of the gigantic video cameras, you know, back when the shuttle was launching. You know, they got those really cool, they still to this day use them for like SpaceX launches, the giant cameras that film like really up close. I got to see some of those, which was pretty neat. And then they talked about the new the way the water fills up for the sound deadening and the vibrations. So that was really neat. And then after that, I think it was, I think we headed to, or no, we headed to the, this was, believe it or not, this may sound weird, but this was actually the most fascinating stuff to me. We headed to the International Space Station Processing Facility, which we then got to go. This building, the Space Station Processing Facility, we weren't allowed to take. This was the only building we weren't allowed to take pictures in, because of the top secret. Not really top secret stuff, but just stuff, you know, they got a lot of really cool stuff going on in there. Let's just say that. Stuff that they literally had things sitting there wrapped up, ready to go inside of a Falcon 9 rocket up to the space station. And they actually had a few pieces of the old shuttle. I forgot which space shuttle it was, but they had the old when the big cargo bay doors opened, the docking thing from I think it was Discovery that docked with the International Space Station. They had the actual one in there, so we got to see that. And what else was there in there that was really cool? One of the big things, this was something new that I learned. I didn't even know that NASA was doing this. They're building this thing called, this isn't the full name, but the shortened name is the Gateway. And basically... Yeah, basically what it is, it's going to be an orbiting mini space station that's going to orbit the moon. So we can start then not necessarily colonizing, but establishing permanent structures on the moon, so we can then go from the moon to Mars. Because I think NASA finally came to the conclusion that we can't go from Earth to Mars.
Yeah.
We need the moon. We need to go from Earth to the moon, then the moon to Mars. So this Gateway thing was really cool because they had a couple posters showing how it's going to work and stuff. So I didn't even know they were doing that. So this was all new information to me that I was trying to, you know, soak in. And then after that, they shuttled us out. They moved us over to pad 39A, where we got to see the SpaceX rocket with the Crew Dragon capsule on it, sitting there for launch. And that was really cool. You know, me being a huge SpaceX nerd. seeing the rocket up close and hearing all the hissing and all the noises from it. It was a really cool experience, seeing it that close. And then after that, it was lunchtime, and then they shuttled us over. I'll wrap it up here. They shuttled us over to the, I think the next stop was the countdown clock, the famous countdown clock that they've used for decades, counting down shuttle launches and rocket launches. And Jim Bridenstine, who's, I think I got his name right, Bridenstine, he is the NASA administrator. He's the top dog, pretty much. Him and, I apologize, I can't remember the astronaut's name, but he came out with an astronaut, too. Gosh, it's going to bug me now. But anyways, they came out and they talked about, they kind of did like a press thing. And they talked about how excited they were for the launch, and they also talked about kind of the future of NASA, and the reason why they do these NASA social events is to get people excited about space travel again, because like I said, the space shuttle program died, and people think that NASA just kind of died with it.
Nope.
There's nothing going on out there. And that couldn't be further from the truth. There's so much going on out there right now. So he explained, you know, the reason why we're doing these NASA social events, at least more of them. He said that they used to do them, but not as often, is to invite people like us out there, you know, geeks and nerds, to get especially the younger generation, you know, kids excited about space travel again, because with this new commercial program, with Boeing going out there and SpaceX, NASA doing all these partnerships now, there's so much going on out there, that it's really an exciting time for NASA and SpaceX and Boeing, you know, there's just so much going on out there. Yeah. So it was really interesting talking, you know, him kind of talking about why they do these NASA social events. And I was like, okay, I was like, I get it. So, and then after that, we chatted out there with them for a little bit. And then we, our last stop was kind of a cheesy, but yet kind of a really cool thing. They brought us to the doorway that you always see on TV that the astronauts walk out before they head into the space shuttle or the rockets, you know, back in the 60s and the 70s with the Apollo program.
Yeah.
We got to see the door that they all walked out of before they got on that van thing or whatever. I can't remember the name of it. It was really cool because there's all sorts of stickers around the door frame. And you could see they had a big metal bar down at the bottom of the ramp where news stations, you would know this, Barry, where news stations like hooked up their cameras and stuff.
Yeah.
It was really cool seeing that. So, and then that was it. They put us on the bus and they brought us back to our cars. So that was kind of, you know, our whole day in a nutshell was just checking out these cool areas that not everybody gets to see. And then, I got to take a break. I went home. Luckily my parents live over there on the coast. And I actually didn't spend time with them. I went over to my sister and her husband's house in Port St. John and got some rest because I had to be back out there at 12:30, just a little after midnight, for them to take us out to the NASA Causeway for the launch, for the SpaceX Crew Dragon launch. So I got there about 12:30. They shuttled us out there, and the launch, we got out there about 1... We left a little late. I want to say we got out there about 1 or so, a little after 1, like 1:15. So I had about an hour and a half to sit out there on this NASA Causeway, which, by the way, this viewing area is pretty much exclusive to this NASA social thing. There were a few other people out there. I don't know who they were with. But other than that, we were the only ones out there. You know, it was beautiful. You could hear the crickets chirping. You know, people kind of kept a really low, you know, talking to each other, kind of whispering, because you know everybody was setting up their cameras and stuff. The suspense was building. At 2:39. The launch happened, and you know, lo and behold, we got a launch. Because you know, with these NASA social things, you spend all day with these people hoping for a launch, and then you know, in some instances, it doesn't happen. So you know, we got a launch, and I don't think we could have had a more picture perfect of a launch. There was a thunderstorm kind of going off over the ocean. It was picture perfect. It was beautiful, and I filmed the whole thing in 4K on my phone. I was like, you know what? I was like,
worth it.
Yeah, I was like, I don't have like a $5,000 camera like some of these guys do, so I was like, I'm gonna record it in 4K on my iPhone. So
yeah,
I changed my phone over to 4K and I filmed it, and it actually came out pretty good. It's up on our YouTube channel if you want to watch it. And the other thing was this, I think we were looking at a couple of the people that were there. We were trying to figure out how far we were away from the launch pad, and we narrowed it down to about 3 to 4 miles away. That's how close we were.
Dang. Yeah.
So the, you know, the rumbling was just, I can't even explain what you felt being that close to a rocket launch. I couldn't imagine being that close to a shuttle launch. I don't know if they ever let anybody get that close with a shuttle launch.
I don't think so.
And they give you like a warning. They're like, these buses are your safety zone. If something happens, like if this rocket goes, they're like, get your butt back on this bus. I was like, oh, that's reassuring. But they give you like a whole safety rundown before you even go out to the NASA Causeway. You know, if something goes awire, you know, to get back on that bus immediately. And I'm guessing they're going to get you out of there. But luckily, none of that happened. And we had a beautiful launch, and I loved it. That was the second time I'd done it. And I would love to do it again. So if you get the chance ever, you know, sign up for these NASA social things. I don't know what they look for as far as criteria. I mean, obviously you have to have some kind of social following, because these are not, they're social events. So, you know, I think they want that exposure. But you know, I was, the other thing is, you know, you get to meet a lot of cool people. I met people, it's insane the amount of people that actually travel for this thing. You think 90% of these people that went to this thing would be local?
Yeah.
No, like, there was, I met people from L.A. I met a guy from Chicago. He was like, oh, I'm flying home to, like, 3 feet of snow tomorrow. You know, you meet people from all over the place, which is really cool. You think something like this, you know, somebody, you know, it would get a lot of locals. But no, yeah, there's, these people legit travel for these NASA social events. And, you know, they'll pick up a last minute airfare. And unfortunately, to the government, because of the government shutdown, they had to delay this launch, because NASA shut down, because they had to, I think they had to do like a lot of tests or something. Mm-hmm. And they weren't able to do it during the government shutdown, so the launch got pushed back. So anyways, that was my day with this NASA social event. It was a lot of fun. I loved it. And like I said, I did two videos. I actually was able to throw together a vlog of the day, and I got
That's the NASA social trip to Kennedy Space Center.
Yeah, I have that up there. And then, like I said, I uploaded the launch in 4K, so be sure to check that out as well.
Launch is stunning. So.
Yeah, it was picture perfect. I don't think we could have asked for a better launch at night, and it was clear blue. There was, like I said, there was a thunderstorm like maybe like 20, 30 miles offshore. But other than that, it was crystal clear skies. You could see all the stars. It was gorgeous. I loved it. So we couldn't, I don't think the people that made it down for this one, could have asked for any better weather, because it was perfect. It wasn't cold. The last one I went to, I was freezing, and the launch was at like 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and everybody was freezing. Like, it was like tonight cold, but imagine being out on a causeway with water on both sides of you. Nope. It was freezing. everybody was just miserable and freezing, and we're like, come on, launch this thing. But this one was, the weather was perfect. So yeah,
that's awesome.
I think that's it. Did I say that all in one breath?
You did your usual run-on sentence.
Yeah. And I think that's it. I'm going to take a breather.
I think that is it. Next podcast we'll have Sesame Street opening date. We'll talk about Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival kicking off. We'll talk about the Seven Seas Food Festival, cuz we'll finally get to it.
Nom 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 nom.
Yes, I'm looking forward to meeting up with Emily there Friday night for some num nums and some Thrill Geek Alive. And so,
are you guys doing that Friday night?
I'm sure something else will happen between now and the recording next Monday night.
I want to get to Mardi Gras again.
I went the other night, and
I think I'm going Saturday night because I'm being dragged to Becky G.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I might see if I can swing by at least for a couple hours, maybe watch the parade and skedaddle. And then I'll leave you with Sin and Becky G.
With spring break coming, it's going to be easier to hit Mardi Gras after work.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that too.
Because the parades will be like at like 7:15 or something when spring break kicks in.
Yeah, when I saw it the other day, it was at 6:15. It was like still light outside. So
yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot we got the time change on Sunday too.
Oh yeah.
So we lose an hour of sleep on Sunday.
Yay!
Ooh, I always like to fall back more than I do spring forward.
Apparently they're trying to get rid of it, aren't they? I saw in the news they're trying to eliminate this whole daylight savings time.
There's been talk for a while now of getting rid of it because it doesn't really make sense anymore. So we will see.
Yeah, I mean, my personal preference is I enjoy the darker, the dark darker longer. I don't like the 7-8 o'clock sunsets.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would imagine the theme parks would be against it because that means they'd have to stay open an hour later.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've always been, I swear I was a vampire in my last life because I like the darker days where, you know, like now, where it gets dark, you know.
Oh, no. I mean, I definitely enjoy this time, you know, when it gets darker earlier, and it's always more fun going to the theme parks when it's dark outside than it is when it's daylight.
Yeah, I think that's what it is with me too. You know, I've always been a theme park night owl. I always enjoy the parks at night better because, you know, you got the lights on and the parks are just prettier at night for the most part. So that's a big factor in it for me too. So
I just think my brain is so trained from Horror Nights that when it does get darker earlier, I'm like, what's happening? I don't understand.
Your brain's like, what's going on?
Like, seriously, though, like, it's so hard when, like, the time changes like that for me. Like, I can't cope.
And it's going to be even weirder with Halloween Horror Nights starting that weekend after Labor Day. I mean,
no, it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be like 2 hours of like daylight.
Yeah, outside. I forgot because they're starting. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, it's you know, it's the time of year, so it'll be light a little bit longer, and but it'll be darker in the morning a little bit longer. That's always the nice part.
Yeah,
because it's definitely.
Yeah,
I mean,
the sun blinding in my face.
Yeah, I mean, we have blackout curtains.
We do too, but still.
But it's still, yeah, still when you're waking up, it's when you roll over at 7 o'clock in the morning, and there's like light blasting through the cracks of the blackout curtains. It's not fun.
I think it's cute that you assume that I get up at 7:30 in the morning.
Well, I'm older than you, and as you get older, you just automatically wake up.
Your body forces you.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Both of you, be quiet. Try having 3 kids.
Yeah, we touché. We have 3 dogs, so I mean, we do have them. Like, you know, Dexter has to do his get up, stretch, and then rub his face all over the side of the bed in the morning.
Yeah, I get to hear at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, "Daddy, can I play Nintendo?" That's what I hit to hear on my days off.
Coming up to you like a serial killer.
Oh, he does. Connor does. Like, he will, like, and he goes over to Cheryl's side of the bed. He won't come over to my side of the bed.
He knows. Yeah.
He knows me. I'll tell that kid to go back to bed. He'll go over to Cheryl's side of the bed and be like, "Mommy, can I play Nintendo?" So, anyways, all right, let's go to bed. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, we are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/ThrillGeek. Be sure to like and follow our Facebook page, youtube.com/ThrillGeek. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We currently have the NASA social trip to Kennedy Space Center Clint vlog. We got the RMC announcement at Busch Gardens, Tampa. We got the Tigris roller coaster time lapse construction video. We got the SpaceX Falcon 9 Crew Dragon launch. You can also check out last week's Thrill Geek Live if you want to hear more stuff about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. We have that up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ThrillGeek, and the VIP guided tour vlog video is also up there. And for the latest in theme park and
theme pop.
The latest in theme pop news. Sounds like some, instead of J-pop, theme pop.
I told you, it's got a nice ring to it. We need to do something with it. We need to market it or something.
Theme pop. Yeah, Thrill Geek, theme pop news. Yeah, for the latest in theme park
and pop culture
news.
There you go.
Visit thrillgeek.com. We've got all kinds of articles for Busch Gardens, music and wine.
You need some wine right now.
Food and wine
there
festival.
Go to bed.
The RMC coaster announcement. all kinds of fun things, always new articles, always on the website. And of course, you're listening to the Thrill Geek podcast, available wherever podcasts are sold. And Clint, I believe we have some new sort of travel thing that you want to talk about.
Yeah, I, you know, while you're sitting here making all the announcements, I'll talk about it more next week. But for now, if you want to get a head start on everybody, just go to thrillgeek.com/travel. And check that out. We announced a little something today, kind of a new expansion for Thrill Geek, I guess you could say. A new direction we're kind of going in, but not changing too much. I'll talk about, you know, since we're kind of wrapping up here, I'll talk more about it next week when we first start off. We launched Thrill Geek Travel today. So if you want to learn more and, like I said, get a head start, go to thrillgeek.com/travel and check that out. So, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's called a tease.
Yeah. Tease. Was that a good teaser?
He's teasing to the next episode.
Yeah. So. Be sure to stay tuned.
Yes, be sure to listen on the next episode of the Thrill Geek podcast.
To be continued.
To be continued.
Emily, thank you again for joining us this evening.
Yes.
I hope you enjoyed your time at Busch Gardens. I think we got you scheduled for another media event at SeaWorld. More food.
I love food.
With Seven Seas. That'll be the next thing you can talk about next week. So thank you again, Emily, for everything you've been doing. You are awesome, and I appreciate everything. So
I appreciate you guys.
Aw.
Thank you.
Hug. Virtual hug.
Nice.
All right, guys. Thanks again for listening.
And we hug my dogs now.
Go hold your tongue. All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and we will see you guys again next week.
See you in the parks.
Bye.